We're going to be in Mark chapter 4 is where we are, and I want everybody to open your Bible or an app. So you should never come to church and not bring your Bible. And if you need one, again, there should be one under the seat or the seat in back of you. If you don't have that, open your app. Everybody should follow along because you want to make sure what I'm teaching you is always from the Word. If you ever go to Bible studies or whatnot, where you don't need to really open your Bible, well, then that's probably a time to move. Okay. So if you remember last week, we got introduced, Jesus called the 12 and he appointed them. He called them and he appointed them. We went over each of these ragtag groups, and it's kind of like us. You've got some that would never have been in the same room together. You've got Matthew, the collaborator, the tax collector, and you got Simon the Zealot. They hated each other. And yet, here they are all giving all that prejudice up, whatever up, and they're following Jesus. And we see when Jesus went up on that mountain and appointed them, he prayed to God and for those decisions. And we talked about how we need to pray to God. We need to call to him, the Bible says, and he'll answer us whenever we need. We need to make our prayers, our petitions, our thanksgiving made for all people, the Bible says. And this ragtag group of people from all different backgrounds is like us. Not many of us were wise by human standards or influential or noble or whatnot. But we talked about how these men, it says in the book of Acts, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, when they were before these religious leaders, they saw a life, a new life, a born-again life in their heart. And they were astonished because they took note that they were unschooled, ordinary people like you and me. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that made them ministers. And that made the change in their life. And we talked about who's the ministers of this church. And honestly, you are. It's not just me and Gary. We're shepherding pastors to equip you. Ah, speaking of equipping. Sorry, I just remembered something. Through the whole New Testament, verse-by-verse application commentary. If anybody wants to grow deeper in the Lord, we've got tons of materials to give you. Tons. But we'll only give it to you if you want it. So I'm putting it out there. If anybody would like something like that, let me know. We've got tons. Okay. So Jesus was ministering. He's teaching. He's healing. And in fact, so much so that he didn't even have time to eat him, his disciples. And they were like, man, even his family's like, he's out of his mind. He's not even stopping to eat. And the Pharisees were jealous of him because of envy, the Bible says. And they're like, oh, no, he's possessed. That's why he's doing these things. And so it was really kind of sad, but it was out of envy that they said these things. And we talked about last week about a house divided against itself can't stand. And we talked about that if anyone's going to enter a strong man's house, we got to first tie him up, and then he can take what he wants from the strong man's house. And how our hearts have been tied up because of Jesus, Lord, that tied up the strong man, and we've been given a new life. And it's amazing. And we talked about that greater is he who is in us and he who is in the world, that we're more than conquerors, that we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength and power. And then we talked about in Mark 3:28, as we were closing it out, that he said, all people, we can be forgiven of all things and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They're guilty of eternal sin. We talked a lot about that. And so I'm not going to go over that again, but let's just say the ultimate blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of Jesus Christ, because salvation is given through no one else. There's no other name given to men by which we must be saved. Not by Home Fellowship Church, not by Pastor Gary, not by Pastor Darren. It's Jesus. So whoever has the Son has eternal life in heaven, and whoever does not have the Son does not have eternal life. And then lastly, we saw Jesus' mother and brother looking for him, and Jesus said, hey, who's my mother and brother? You know who it is? You know who my real brothers and sisters and mother is? It's those who do God's will. Regardless of your socioeconomic background, black, white, red, yellow, rich, poor, whatever, doesn't matter. It's the one who does God's will. And God's will is that you believe in him. That is my Father's will, that all who believe in the Son will have eternal life. And I'll raise them up the last day. and to obey the word of God and put it into practice. That's a wise man who built on the rock. Okay, now we start off in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. It starts us off and it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. It says the crowd that gathered around him was so large. In the Greek language, he's being thronged. He's being pressed. Almost like, I don't know if you've been to a concert. Have you ever been to like a crazy concert where if you're up on the floor, they're crushing you? I went to a Bon Jovi. Okay, whatever. Many years ago, obviously, whatever. I went to a Bon Jovi concert. I remember that's what happened. I mean, the crowd was so crushing. This little girl, little blonde-haired girl in front of me, she was actually literally being crushed. And I had to, like, do this, you know, just so that she could breathe. And the crowds are just coming from everywhere, all over the place. They want to hear him teach. They want to hear him. And it's an amazing time. And so much so that he got into a boat and set it out in the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And then it says, and he began to teach them in parables. And so that's our first few verses in Mark chapter 4, 1 through 2. Okay? Now, there's a few things. First, parable. It says he taught them in parables. Parable, the Greek word is parabole. And you say, who cares? And I say, oh, you will. Here's why. Parabole is actually two words in Greek, para, which means alongside, where we get our word, like, you know, parallel. If I say I run something parallel, para, it's beside. And then balo, which means to cast or to put. So what we're doing is we're casting a truth alongside a practical application in life, okay? And that's the idea. We're laying or casting spiritual truths alongside a practical story, and Jesus is using that to drive home a truth into people's hearts, at least for those who want to hear. Whenever you come to church, you need to ask the Lord. I do this every single time. I want to say religiously, but that's the wrong word. I want to ask the Lord to give me listening ears to what his spirit has to say. Listen, you love the Lord or you probably wouldn't be here. You love the word or you probably wouldn't be here unless somebody roped you into it. But it's very easy for all of us to get religious. Do you know what I mean? This is what I do on Sunday. I come, my family makes me come, my husband makes me come, my wife makes me, whatever. Here I am. Okay, I get it. When we come to church, we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak something through this vessel, whoever is speaking. Me, Pastor Gary, whomever. Ask him to speak directly to your heart, to open your heart to receive what he has for you. Because our God is a supernatural God. He is a speaking God. And he wants to speak to you. Does that make sense? And I do that every time. Every time I come up here, that's what I'm praying. Even as I teach. And it says, sorry, he's out on a boat. Right? When it says it gathered together right here, it doesn't work on the screen. When it says it gathered together, the word in Greek is, I think, a synagogu. It's where we get the word synagogue. They gathered together. So he's having church right where he's at. It's not a fancy synagogue. He's just like, hey, I'm teaching on the Sea of Galilee, out in the water. We're just talking about God, right? And that's amazing. And I'm sure that really ticked off the leaders, the Pharisees. You need to be in a suit and tie, Pastor. You need to have this sort of building and this sort of facility and this sort of. You know what? Maybe we'll just teach the word. Maybe we'll just tell people about Jesus. Maybe we won't make it a marketing campaign or run it like a business. Maybe we won't make it about our denomination or our church name. Home fellowship, home fellowship, home fellowship. No, we're going to make it about one person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. He's the one that saves you, sanctifies you, right? And ultimately is going to reward you. Anyway, I digress. So he's out on this boat, and the water, if you're by the Sea of Galilee, it's really beautiful. And the water amplifies, well, I guess it amplifies it everywhere, but is amplifying his voice so that the crowds can hear him more. And I think that's good. You know, we've tore out everything we can tear out in here to make room for more seats. And that's so more people can hear. And so that's a good thing. Jesus is doing the same thing. And he, again, Jesus spent more time teaching than anything else. That's what he was doing again. The word for teach in verse 1, again, is different from preaching. Preaching is caruso, or evangelizing, right? He's teaching them. It's didasko. And it means to explain or to expound on an informal setting, like we're doing here, verse by verse, precept by precept, so that you understand what the Word of God means for yourself. So I don't just get to teach you my favorite scriptures. I get to teach you the good things and the difficult things. Sometimes things you don't want to hear. Sometimes things that'll convict you. I don't want to do that. Well, I do want to do that because the Holy Spirit wants me to do that, but I just don't want to tell you things that your itching ears want to hear. But it says that this is how he's teaching. And he's verse by verse, precept by precept, because he's trying to get the Word of God to grow in our hearts. Just like a beautiful tree, a beautiful garden to bear fruit. And it all comes from the Word of God. And so he's teaching. He knows that that's going to transform our lives. The Word is the only thing that transforms you. I can tell you great funny stories and really neat. I can do all that. But the main thing that's going to change you isn't any of that. It's going to be the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Right? So I want you to think of it this way. Colossians 3:16 says something beautiful. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Remember, your ministers, if you're saved here, he has chosen you to be a minister of the gospel by what you say, by what you don't say, by what you're involved with, by what you're not involved with, by speaking the word and living the word, your character, your integrity, all that. Is what people see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And it says, with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God even with gratitude in your hearts. Colossians 3:16. And listen, that word dwell right here, I taught on, laser doesn't work. The word dwell here in Greek is enokio. And it means to inhabit. Let the word of Christ inhabit you. It means to influence you for good. Because some people can, you know, we can read the Bible and get more knowledge. And you can read, oh, those Greek words are interesting. Blah, 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 Pastor. It's not made to do that. It's made to influence your heart in goodness and faithfulness and truth and joy. And it says, let it dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell. It means to live in your heart, the word. Let it dwell in your heart. Let it be at home. The word is comfortable here. It flows out of me. It's natural, actually supernaturally natural. I've allowed God's word to live in my heart. That means that I don't shut off certain areas of my heart to him. Do you know what I mean? You know how we can do that? You know what I'm saying? He wants it open for him. And then he says, let it dwell in you richly. In Greek, that word is, I think it's plousios. I can't remember how to pronounce it now. I thought I wouldn't forget, but I did. I think it's plousios. Plousios, I think. Plousios. Anyway, and it means abundantly, overflowing. The idea is that you're getting so much of the word in you, right? That it's just coming out of you. It's not like, John 3:16 says, I am a robot. It's coming out naturally. Hey, man, God wants you to be, hey, I just want to encourage you, you know? Hey, remember, bro, be angry, sin not, you know? Hey, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, you know? Those type of things, it's just going to come out of you. That's the idea. It's abundant. It's overflowing. Let it dwell in you richly. And so Mark chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 goes on to say, it says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, some of you guys are already familiar with this. And if you are, can I just encourage you not to shut down? It's easy. I've heard his parable. Whatever. Don't shut down. Maybe God wants to speak something new to you or remind you of something that maybe you've hardened or you've forgotten. Anyway, that's how he starts. He says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And he said, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and immediately ate it up. Now, the first thing he says is listen. And the Greek word here is akouo. Akouo, he says. He goes out in that boat. He's like, guys, akouo. Sometimes I'll do that. We're all human. And sometimes, maybe we got a lot of sleep. Maybe the teacher's not too interesting. And we can be like, and sometimes you hear me say, hey, guys, come back to me. Pay attention. This is important. Listen up now. If you're fading off, this is it. That's what he's doing. He's saying, akouo. He's saying, pay attention to this. Listen up, guys. This is important stuff that I'm about to tell you. And that's how he starts it off. Now, this is also commonly called the parable of the sower, but it might be better to be called the parable of the soils, okay? And you'll see why in a minute, but, you'll soon see the farmer, farmers are consistent, the seed is constant, but the soil of our hearts that the seed lands on is going to make all the difference. So it's probably better, I would think, be called the parable of the soils, because that's what it's really about. Mark chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 goes on to say, he says, some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And if I could emphasize a word, I couldn't emphasize it on here because I didn't have the space, I would have capsed shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So the shallow and the no root. And this is interesting because, at least it's interesting to me, when I went to Israel, before I went to Israel, I guess I pictured Israel differently. Like, you've seen the Sahara Desert? You know, so I pictured more Sahara Desert-y sand. And then, you know, buildings. I don't know. I pictured it very different than it was. But when I got there, I realized that it was more like rocky. I don't know how to describe it, but just stones under the earth everywhere. And that's what it was made up of, many rocky areas. And many times that hard, stony ground would lie just beneath the surface. In other words, it would look like good soil. It would look like fertile soil. But if you're an archaeologist or you start digging there, clink, 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 rocks. And I don't mean those little pebbly rocks. I mean rocks. Do you know what I'm saying? Boulders. Thank you. That's what I mean. And Dr. Luke adds in this one, his recount of this, in Luke chapter 8, verse 6, that it had no water to feed it. Okay? And I think that's important, too, because we need that living water to feed us. And so the picture painted for us, as you'll see in a moment, is a heart that is shallow, so that the seeds of the Word of God cannot take any root or water. Hey, George, do you hear that? Yeah, so it withers and dies. Well, I'm not going to be distracted. Lord, help me not to be distracted. So the bottom line is, picture our own hearts as being shallow. So the deal is, when the farmer would scatter the seed, in a sense, it would hit what looks like dirt and good soil, right? But the seed's being scattered, but actually, right underneath it is a bed of rock, and that rock is being warmed by the sun all day. So when that seed hits that warm rock, and it's moist because it holds in the water, you know, it immediately germinates and it springs up, right? But there's no root; it can't go anywhere because the rock is there. No root can form. It's too shallow, and so unfortunately, it just dies. Well, that sun comes up, maybe a storm hits, and there's nothing to root it to. It's not built, you know, on Christ Jesus. And it can't go down. We can go down to the rock of Christ Jesus, but you get the idea. But the sun, the heat, it's too much trouble. It's too hot for me. Oh, I can't. And it fades away. And so that's a little picture. And the picture is also about not getting the water. You know, there's no source of water. It's just rock and hardness. And it's Jesus is our living water, right? And his word flows from him. It's his word. It's flowing from him through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and into you if you'll listen. And some of those seeds are first on the path. So picture a farmer in those days, right? And it would be either a hard-packed path or it would be stone, and he'd be walking along this little path. I'm just going to use this. And he'd be scattering a seed here and there. And some of those things fell on the stony path or the hard ground. And the birds are like, hey, free seeds, I'll grab it. Some fell on rocky places, and those rocky places didn't get enough moisture, and they couldn't go down. There was no root. And it's so important for us to remember that he is our source, our fount of living water. And as we read this book and get to know him better, our main goal is to seek and find him, not to gather more information. Does that make sense? Listen, the Bible says, I love this. This was on the last and greatest day of the feast. I think it was the Feast of Tabernacles, if I remember correctly, in John chapter 7. And they were getting water from the pool of Siloam, which means the pool of the sent one, on the last and greatest day of that feast. And they were coming back and bringing that water, and he's pouring out that water on a dry and thirsty land, is what they would normally do. And it was right at that point where Jesus stands up as they're pouring out that living water on a dry and thirsty land, looking for the Messiah. He stands up and he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And I'm going to supply him with the water of life. And then you know what it says? As you take in that water and that nourishment of the living water from Jesus, it says that actually creates more in you. And then that flows out into other people. Does that make sense? If you'll let it. So let the living water of Jesus, remember, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Every time. It's Jesus wants to refill you. He wants to wash you with the water of the word. Let it wash over you. Let it revive you. Let it restore you. Many times when we get hard-hearted ourselves is, you know what goes, when we put down first? Can I borrow this? Thanks, Tony. Here's what we do. I'll get to it later. And maybe it doesn't affect you for the first little bit. Doesn't affect me for a little bit. But after a while, people around you start to notice. Getting a little dry, getting a little hard, getting a little rocky, aren't you, in your life? Be refreshed and renewed as you read his word. Ask him to speak to you personally through it. And if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Lord, speak to me. Every time you read his word, Lord, speak to me through your word every time you pray that. Anyway, it goes on in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, and it says, other seeds fell among the thorns which grew up. And then it says, and they choked the plants so that they did not bear fruit or they did not bear grain. The word, there's a reason why I have this up here. It says, did not bear grain. The word in Greek is karpos. Karpos, and that means fruit or crop. It's in this verse, it's in the next verse, and there's a reason I'm telling you this. So some people are like, oh, Jesus is going to tell us about this verse. It's the things of life that are crowding in on your heart, dividing your heart. But I want you to notice something. Some people teach it this way, and I don't know that I agree with it. Well, you just got a crowded heart, you know, and so, you know, you just divide it a little bit. So, but This is saying those things of the world that are growing up around your heart, choking the life out of you, did so that you didn't bear fruit. There was no fruit in your life. I don't think that's good. I don't want to be that. Well, somebody's like, well, you're still a Christian. You just don't have any fruit. No. We'll talk about that more in a minute. That's a scary place, and that's not a place that I would really bank my life on, okay? But this word is so they did not bear any fruit. Karpos, okay? And then Mark 4, 8 through 9 goes on to say, it says, still other seed fell on the good soil. And it says that it came up and it grew and produced a crop. Same word, karpos, crop, a grain, a fruit. Some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is having to say. So please note that all the seed that fell on good ground produced a crop. Every single one of it that fell on good ground produced a crop. Now, they just did it in varying degrees, some 30, some 60, 100. And this tells me a couple of things. This tells me that the life is in the seed, which is in the Word of God that's being scattered. That's why it drives me bananas. I got to be careful not to become self-righteous about this. I need to be righteous. There's a difference. But it bothers me when churches are not teaching the Word of God. They don't teach all of it. Paul said, I have not failed to teach you the whole counsel of God so that you would know what it is. The seed, the life, whether it's eternal life and when you got saved, or to be honest, if it's changing your life, because the Bible says in Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will bring life in you. The enemy wants to keep you away from that. He'll want to keep you away from churches like that, from Bible studies like that, and put you in a nice place that just tells you easy peasy things that are fun and rock and roll-y. Yoo-hoo! Not that I'm a rock and roll guy, but you know what I'm saying, right? Listen. The second thing is we need to be responsible, that I learned, is we need to be responsible for scattering the seed. Listen, and not the results, as they may vary. In other words, listen, I'm a farmer. I have the seed, which is the Word of God. It's up to me to scatter. Now, I'm going to make sure I don't look at anybody, because then the enemy's always looking to get somebody mad about something. Really, I'm not kidding you. So I'm going to look. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm telling you. In Jesus, I'm looking at the crowd. Okay. So we're responsible as farmers to scatter that seed. Now, sometimes it's going to fall on hard hearts. It just is. Sometimes it's going to, like, darn it. I'm so used to looking at people's eyes. I can't help. You say that. Sometimes the seed falls on shallow hearts. You know, when it's like, woohoo, yeah, Jesus. And then, yeah, then Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday rolls down, like, whatever, I'm heading for the weekend, you know. Oh, yeah, Sunday again. Let's talk about Jesus. You know, listen, we can even be hard-hearted when we come here to hear the word. Oh, I know this passage. Oh, here we go again, Sunday, sing some songs. Oh, Pastor Darren. You know, no, God, soften my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Make me be like you. Help me to know you better, Lord. I don't want to be hard. I don't want to have a shallow heart. I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, Jesus, and then you see him fall away a little bit later. No, he's in it for the long haul with you. And he wants you to be in it for the long haul. And the results may vary. Listen, oh, I wish I could be like this person, right? Don't you always wish you could be like this other person? That's not you? I think that. I'm like, well, you think that? Yeah. Well, I think in this area, I wish I was better like this other person, or better, more bold, Listen, God has made you who you are. He wants you to get out of your shell. But you know what? He wants you to scatter seed. If some falls on hard hearts, not your responsibility. If some falls on shallow hearts, not your responsibility. If some falls on hearts that are choked out by all the world stuff, not your responsibility. If some falls on good soil, not your responsibility. Some will plant, some will water, but it's only the Lord that makes the grow out of the seed of the Word of God. Does that make sense? It is not about Pastor Darren. It is about you. It's about the Word of God. You are just responsible for scattering the seed. But you know what happens if you don't scatter that seed? Nothing. And you're being disobedient to the Lord. Oh, I liked it up to that point. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Hey, do we have a microphone? Thank you. Can I borrow that microphone? George is praying. Hello? Test, test, test. Yeah. Yes, it is. Test, test, test. All right.
Okay.
I don't think it is, but.
Nope, not now. It was, but it's not now.
Yeah.
There's green on the bottom? Green on the
Yep, green on the bottom. Maybe it's the battery. Well, anyway, just talk loud. Oh, we have another. Look at this. Look at. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Okay, I felt like I was supposed to share this morning before worship, and I didn't. And everything just keeps coming back. So I listened to something that's really spoke to me yesterday. And a lot of this comes out of our secret place. How much time are we spending with the Lord in our secret place? We teach and we share from the overflow of that place. And if we're not spending time with him, I mean, how much time did Jesus spend with God, the Father?
Yeah.
Before he did anything, that's when he was up early and he spent time with him.
Yes.
So how much time are we spending in our secret place? When we come to church, is this our first time that we've spent time with him? How can we enter and have a powerful worship?
Yeah.
If we're not spending time with him, we have nothing. We're having to get worship to fill us.
Yeah.
And we have to work through all the junk and all the things we've done throughout the week. And it takes, we don't even enter into that full sacrificial worship because we're full of junk and we haven't spent time with him. And so, again, it just like, even with the soil, if we're not in the secret place, then, of course, our heart isn't, you know, ripe for the seeds to really grow. And then to spread them, we don't have anything to spread. We don't have that fruit and that grain and that crop to spread because we're not filled up and we're not growing and bearing fruit. So it really starts with our secret place and how much time are we spending with him.
Yes. Good word. Good word. Lisa, do you have anything you want to say? Do you have anything you want to say? You can if you don't have to.
No, I'm so glad Natalie said that because I was kept on thinking about the actual soil and we were talking about the rocks. You know, there's so much that, you know, we have almost two places in this, like Natalie was saying. We are the people that are called to spread the seeds, but we're also the people that have soil. And so our hearts, we're responsible for our hearts, just like Natalie was talking about, getting in the Word. And we can have that rocky soil that we need to go and continually take things out of. And I think Natalie really hit it. The we have to do the work. Nothing grows. I mean, I'm trying to just grow herbs in my backyard. And nothing happens if you don't constantly take care of it. You know what I mean? It can be look really great one day, and the next you go out, you're like,
weeds.
What happened? You know, so it's a constant thing. And I see that, you know, in 20 years of walking with the Lord, the years that I had a quiet time in the morning is so different than the years that I didn't, you know, and how fresh it's on my lips because I spent the time that morning and prepared my heart. So we do. We have such a huge responsibility. It's his responsibility to make it grow. Right? That's his. We can't take that back, but we still have a huge responsibility in what we do in our lives, in preparing our hearts and preparing what we do.
Good. Good word. Good word. Okay. One more back there. Do you mind bringing it back? Thank you. Thanks, Robert. Faster than a speeding bullet.
Can you go back to that previous slide? One
nope.
Back.
Oh, Mark, you always. Sure. He says, I don't.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
In Matthew 7, verse 16 through 18. It says, you will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. That place that you were saying, well, I don't know if I want to be there. I know I don't, because if I am not bearing good fruit, I am not in relationship with the Lord. I have to bear good fruit.
All right. So here's where we're at. Sorry, I got to get there myself. Give me just one second. So it's the same thing where it says crop here, right? The one that fell on good soil, it grew and produced a crop. It's the same word. It means fruit, grain, crop, 30, 60, or 100 times. And listen, John chapter 15:8 says, this is to my Father's glory, Jesus said, that you go and bear fruit. You're my disciples. That's the reason why I've called you. He could have saved you and taken you right up to heaven. Why don't you think he's done that yet? Because he is not done with you. And he wants you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. In fact, it goes on to say, showing yourself to be my disciples. And if you look up this verse in John 15:8, some of your translation says, proving yourselves to be my disciples. Well, what is that fruit? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? And Mark just was saying, got ahead of me there, but in Matthew 7, 18 to 20, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Not that we don't make mistakes, but we're going to be bearing these things. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, you're not going to hear that at a feel-good megachurch, aren't you? It says, thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And he's talking about false teachers, false prophets, false Christians. He's telling them, by your fruit, you're going to see these things. Here's what you're going to see. You're going to see love. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love others. Now, that can be shown in very different ways. The way I love people, I'm very huggy. I'll come in, really, I huggy, Pastor Gary. You know, George, he's a Harley guy. Okay, he still gives hugs, but you know what? He actually leads a group of his motorcycle club of Harleys, and he leads those guys out, and every weekend, he does it on Saturdays, but a lot of times they want to do rides on Sunday, and you know what he'll always say? He's leading it. He says, no, I won't do it. He said, I'm going to be in church, and that's my first priority. I'm going to be at church, and then people want to hear the word, and I'm online and here, and I have to make sure that that happens. But love God and love others. That's the fruit that they're going to see. If you don't see that in your life, can I just say, you need to reexamine yourself. Love God, love others. Joy that doesn't change in the situations. I have a quiet confidence in the Lord that goes beyond the maddening stuff I'm going through right now. It's crazy right now, Lord. But I trust you. And I know you're going to work it somehow to good. And I don't even know how, but I'm going to trust you. It's okay. Peace. Peace with God and peace from God. Patience. I am not naturally patient, Sarah. Some of you are. Good for you. I am Mr. Impatient. But you know what? I'm Italian. We're the opposite of patient. But can I tell you what? I serve a supernatural God, and patience is the fruit of the Spirit. I can't just say, well, I'm Italian. We don't do that. Yeah. No, patience. Kindness. You know what it's like just to be kind to people? Everybody's out to tear you down. You're a dad. You know that. It's not easy. How about more people that are just blessing people, just being kind? goodness. Jesus went around doing good things for folks, like you do, like you do. They're just good to people. And then when they say, wow, thanks, I'm so grateful that you did this or that and the other, receive it in Jesus' name. You always step aside, point them right to the Father, right to the Son. Faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what. No matter who does what, I'm not in a self-righteous way. I want to serve you. Gentleness. Hey, that's not, I'm a guy. Gentleness. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the only autobiographical statement Jesus ever made about himself, he said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 11. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. I need to be more gentle with people. And self-control. I just want to do whatever. That's just what I do. I just feel this way. I feel that way. Well, self-control. I feel like I should shut my mouth right here. I feel I should hold my tongue. I feel like I should not do this, go there, see that. You get the idea. So, in this parable, you see the seed is the word of God being scattered. You see the farmer or the sower, that's you and me. Is it? Yes, it is. Empowered by the Lord, okay? The birds is Satan, is demonic forces. And the soil is the conditions of our hearts. So the hard-hearted person, where they fell along the path and the birds ate it up. You see the shallow heart where it fell on rocky places, but it didn't have any root. It's too shallow. You see the crowded heart where the thorns kind of took over the heart there, the seed that was planted and killed it. And then you see the open heart, and that's the one that fell on good soil, 30, 60, or 100 times. And it goes on to say in Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, how long have I been teaching?
51 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go, pedal to the metal. When he was alone, I might skip some things, but that's okay, the Lord knows. When he was alone, the 12 and the others asked him about the parables. And he told them, he said, the secret of the kingdom of God is given to you. And the secret of the kingdom of God is given to you. You forget, I forget, we forget. How incredible is that? I lived almost 30 years before I got saved, and I grew up in the church, right? I got saved. The secret of the kingdom of God was given to me. Woo! Hallelujah. That should never get old. What a blessing. What a privilege he's given you. Don't you squander it. Don't waste it. Capiche? Anyway, he goes on to say, but to those outside, everything's spoken in parables. So when I read that, you have to understand that parables both reveal and conceal, just depending on the condition of your heart. So in other words, it's going to reveal if your heart is open to want to hear more, and it conceals if your heart is hardened, right? You're not going to understand, because it's God who gives us understanding. And the 12 and his disciples, who earnestly desired the things of God, they would simply ask, hey, Lord, what did that mean? I didn't get it. And he would tell them freely. He would teach them plainly. And those hard-hearted Pharisees, they were looking to trap Jesus and kill him. They weren't granted that. They were just given more parables. I'm not going to explain it. Because they were prideful. Now, we live in America. Proud. We got to be prideful. Pride. Listen, pride in the Bible is not so great. Listen, Mark 4:12 says this. Pride makes us blind. It says, he did this that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. A parable is like a doorway, I would say, that Jesus' listeners, they stood at the doorway to hear him. If they were prideful and they were not interested, you know what? They stayed outside. I don't want to know more. I don't want to find out more. I'm not going to seek. I'm not going to knock. I'm not going to ask. That's okay. I know Jesus. No. But on the other side of that same coin, if they were humble and they wanted to know more, they could walk through that doorway and ask and think about the truth behind the parable, what it means to their lives. But being proud is not a good thing. Can I tell you something? This is, no, I'm not saying be prideful. Hey, I did a good job. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Or I say I'm proud of my kids. I'm not talking about that kind of pride. I'm talking about the pride that causes you not to see. the things of the Lord. And that can even happen as a Christian, but I'll get to that in a minute. It says, the Lord detests the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. You're going to be proud? I don't need this. That's where it leads, ultimately. I love what Proverbs 16, 18 says. Do you notice the little rafties on? What does it say? He's going over the fall. Pride goes before destruction, if you know this proverb. And it says, I love it when I was making it. Ooh. And a haughty spirit, right, before a... It'll shipwreck you. And what about a Christian? What about a Christian? If you're prideful, can I tell you, I've watched a lot of prideful Christians. I've been one at one time. And it hinders your walk tremendously. It is like a boat anchor that you're dragging around, or a big rock. Okay? It can damage it. You're seeing, this is what's like, yep, I'm just carrying my cross. But I've also got this thing of pride. And it's impossible to take wherever you go. And the Bible says, and this is in Proverbs 29, 23, that even for Christians, pride ends in humiliation. You can pull it around for a while, but you're missing stuff. You're ruining your witness to others. You have to open your eyes and see this. It's not easy, I get it. But first, look at yourself. Don't spend all your time looking at her and him and them and you. Look at me. Lord, work in me. It says pride ends in humiliation, but it says, but with humble heart, good soil, or humility, it brings honor. Right? So don't be dragging around that pride wherever you go. It finishes us off in these last seven verses or so. It says Mark 4, 13 to 14 says, then Jesus said to them, hey, don't you understand this parable? And they said, well, how then will you understand any parable? He said, the farmer sows the word, and the word is so important. That's why it's so lacking in so many churches. They got a lot of other cool stuff, but the main thing is not the main thing. The main thing is that people will be taught the word of God. Mark 4:15 goes on to say, and I think this is an accurate picture. It says, some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, right, it says that Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. That hard heart of ours, that prideful heart, right? As soon as they're out of here, yeah, whatever, let me be about my business, my day, my thing, me. Instead about the Lord. He wants your life to still be about the Lord. Hear what I'm saying to you? It's not about you, it's about him. You'll be a lot happier when you see that. And that's what Satan will do. What did he say? Hey, wow, that was a great sermon, Pastor Darren Wall. That was, you know, ask them, what was the sermon about? What did affect you most? I don't know. That's why it's good. Talk about stuff when you get out of here. Talk about it while you're on the road. Later on today, just ask, hey, what did you like most about the sermon? What was the sermon about again? It's about the seeds or something. Soil. And Jesus is explaining this to his disciples. And it goes on to say, it says in Mark 4:16-17, it says, others are like seeds sown on rocky places. They hear the word, and once they receive it with great joy and emotion. Woo! But since they have how much root? No root. They last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. Oh, I thought it was all supposed to make me healthy, wealthy, happy, joyful. I didn't realize it was going to be difficult. I didn't realize other Christians were going to get mad at me for everything. I didn't realize. But yet I'm going to follow you. I like what Spurgeon said about this verse right here, right? He said, some professing Christians have no root in themselves. Their root is in their parents or in their Christian friends or in their pastor or in enthusiastic surroundings. Woohoo! High five, laser lights, red zone, praise the Lord. He says, there are many more whose religion must be sustained by enthusiastic surroundings. If I'm not getting all that jazz, then he says, they seem to have been baptized in boiling water. And unless the temperature around them is kept to that point, they wither away. The religion that is born of mere excitement will die when the excitement is over. Matthew 4, 18 to 19 says, still others among the thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Listen, the worries of life. I know after COVID, you know there's a lot of people still are not back in this church. I'm thankful they watch online, and thank you for that. But let me tell you, I'm so filled with worry. There's too many people in the church. What if somebody's sick? What if I sit behind somebody? Or the deceitfulness of wealth. I got to work harder. I can't do devotions. I got to go earlier. I got to go to church where I can go. I've actually had people tell me this. I have to go to a church that starts a little bit later so I get some more work done. And the desires for other things, the deceitfulness of wealth, it takes you away. I got to focus on my car, my golf game, my bow, the desire for other things, not even bad things, but it comes and it chokes the word and it almost takes over. The Bible says this, and I really think this is important. So if you're fading away, listen, come back to me. Here's what the Bible says about the world and its desires and all these things, right? It says, do not love this world. It says, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. And then lastly, for the last verse, is Mark 4:20. And it says, others, like seeds sown in good soil. It says, hear the word. Right? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they accept it. As many as receive it, to them become the children of God. And to those give transformed lives as they're hearing and renewing their minds by the word of God. And they bear fruit. God says, I've appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's your mission. That's your focus in life. That's what you're supposed to be accomplishing. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times. Well, I'm only talking to a few people. Talk to those few people. Hey, I have a platform where I can talk to a lot of people. Talk to a lot of people. Well, why can't I be the a lot of people guy? Or some people, the a lot of people guys are like, why can't I just be the one that just talks to one or two people? How about you just be who God's called you to be and just scatter seed to those around you? Good. Yes. Microphone. We need a microphone. Who has the microphone, please? And would you bring it to that lovely young lady right there? Thank you.
Scott. Bring it, Scott.
I was called to say a word about the seed. And, of course, the seed is the word of God. But as we share the word of God to whomever we're called to share it to, we need to take care that we do not add to the word nor take anything away, because that is like GMO, you know, genetically modified. We cannot modify God's word.
Really good. See, that's why we allow, this is the dyadic sort of teaching where we allow this type. Okay, we got another one in there, one there. Yeah, and then one back there.
And I thought, you know, don't worry about where you... No, I shouldn't say don't worry about it. But don't not spread the seed where you think that it's stony ground.
Yeah.
I clean, and I clean on a balcony that has concrete.
Yeah.
But it's got, you know, squares. In between the squares will sprout up a weed, but, you know, a branch. But some of them are very strong and rooted, and they're tough. Mm-hmm. You never know. So don't hesitate. Yes. Don't think that, oh, this isn't the place to share the word or anything. Because, yeah, it might be stony, but you don't know what the Lord can do because it's his job.
It's good, yeah. Pass it. And I will tell you, too, there have been many times where person A, oh, they're so charismatic. Oh, they're going to be great for the Lord. And you find out, and you know, they were the one on the stony ground. They sprang up quickly. Wow. And then the other person who I thought, I don't even know if they're paying attention. In fact, I'll just tell you, many times I'm thinking, I don't even know if they're listening to me. And then as weeks and months, Pastor, I am so unfired for the Lord. Let's get baptized. I want to get baptized. I want to follow Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. I want to be taught more. Do you have more Bible studies? What materials? What can I listen to, Pastor? Can I listen to more stuff? Do you got more teachings? Oh, yeah. Do you got more stuff I can read? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's another good word. Yes, go ahead.
For me, this passage was freeing. It was very freeing to where, for me to know that I'm not responsible for the results that the Lord is, I go into sharing the word with such a freedom of just share it, not under condemnation if the results don't come back the way that I want them to. And that freeing is so exhilarating.
Yes.
It's like, Lord, give me a bigger bag of seeds. Let me throw it out by the handfuls because it's going to touch the people that the Lord wants to touch in his time.
Yes. You are just responsible for scattering. Yeah, honestly, sometimes I can be like, but Lord, I want to affect more people. Lord, just scatter the seed, dude. He doesn't say dude. That's what I think he says. Just scatter the seed. And that's what God wants you to do. Just be faithful right where you're at. Scatter the seed right where you're at. Yes, you have something as well? Okay, and then we'll close out.
There you go. I always go back to the scripture where Jesus says, spread the word, and I'm paraphrasing, spread the word, and if they don't listen, wipe your feet and walk away.
Yeah. And you know what?
I always keep that in mind.
And God bless them. And don't do it self-righteously. Just do it humbly. You know what? That's right. You know what? You just keep moving on. Move forward. And that's the main thing. Never stop. You be faithful. Capiche? Does that make sense, everybody? And God wants you to bear fruit abundantly. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The things that are opposite what this world says are important to you. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, we have one more. Don, that's all right, brother. Hey, you don't usually raise your hand, so it must be a reason. You pass that microphone back there if you would. Besides, you're making the hot dogs for the baptism. I want to make sure you get the all beef franks. Okay.
All right. This is Leviticus 26:2. And it says, observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will fruit. Your threshing will continue until the grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until the planting, and you will eat all the food you want, and you will live in safety in your land. And
God wants us. Good word, brother. Good word. I was nervous when you said Leviticus, but that was good.
Doesn't it speak about the sower will be overtaken by the harvester? When the Lord starts revival, it's like there's so many people getting saved that it actually overtakes the people that are given the word.
Well, what I do know is that all we need to be is responsible for just continuing to give out that word and let God do the growth. And like he said in Leviticus or in Psalms, he wants you to be like a tree planted by streams of living water, right, that yield its fruit in season, right, that doesn't wither, right, when the drought comes, when the hard times come, when the sun comes, but you will yield its fruit in season. You just be found faithful. Keep making sure that soil of your heart is right, sucking in the nutrients of the word of God and the living water of the Lord. and allow him to work in and through you as you scatter the seeds, as you grow fruit that people can see. You know what? As that fruit grows even in your own life and you pick a piece of fruit, what does that fruit have in it?
Seeds.
Seeds of life. Does that make sense? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for your word that goes out and does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose that you've called it to do. Lord, I thank you for each person who shared today, Lord God. I pray that you would bless them for their obedience, and they won't be thinking, why did I share that? Lord, each comment that was shared was a blessing from you, Lord. I thank you for everyone that did that, Lord. I thank you for each person who's getting baptized at 2 o'clock today, Lord. I pray if there's anybody who you want there specifically, Lord, whether there's 7 people or 17 people or 77 people, you'd bring out who you want there, Lord God. Just to be there, as to support, to cheer on, to maybe give a word of encouragement, to maybe pray for. Just to be supportive of another member of the body and to strengthen them. Lord, I pray that your good, kind, loving heart by your Spirit would go forth into every person that's here, Lord God. And we would trust you with all things, Lord God. We love you and we bless you. I ask that you bless this time today. Bless each person that's getting baptized as well and each person who comes. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys, love you, and thank you for you. In Jesus' name.